This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
The fast-paced indoor game of futsal is played across the UK, where British teams are going from strength to strength on the court. George Ferguson is the chairperson of the Partially Sighted Football League, and he joins me now. George, welcome into RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Phil.
Well, futsal, for people who may not be familiar with the game, what makes it different to other types of football?
Well, futsal's played on an indoor five-a-side football pitch. The difference with futsal compared to five-a-side football, which is the traditional game played in this country and one that we played for many years in our league, is that we use touchlines around the pitch. So it effectively looks a little bit like an 11-a-side setup, really. So when the ball goes out of play down the sidelines, it's a kick-in. In 11-a-side football, that would be a throw-in. And then when it goes behind the goal line, it's either the keeper's ball or it's a corner. In futsal, we play with a slightly different ball as well. So it's a little bit more weighted than a normal football. So it doesn't bounce around as much and ping around as much. So the emphasis is more on control, technical ability. But it's really a good way of learning how to play football. It focuses on the technical aspects of a player's ability rather than the general kick and rush that we tend to, you know, play within this country when you see on small-sided games with juniors around the country. So the emphasis is on more close control. So the game's a slightly different setup to the traditional five-a-side in that aspect.
And you're the chairperson of the Partially Sighted Football League. Tell us a bit about the league. I mean, how long has it been going and which clubs make up the league?
Well, the league itself has been known by a number of different names, and it's called the Partially Sighted Football League now. We went over to futsal in 2007 from five-a-side, and five-a-side had been played since 1979, 1980. That was the season when the league was first formed. And we've had many clubs. Years gone by, I remember a day when we had 16 clubs in the league, or 16 teams from about eight or nine clubs. So some teams or some clubs had two or three teams in the league then. But that's not really allowed anymore with the way football's gone. So it's usually one team per club. And we have teams from the likes of Birmingham, London, Merseyside. There's two teams from Merseyside, one of them being Everton as well. A team from Blackpool called Scorpions. You can understand that the aspect of the nature of the game. We generally meet up once a month and we play two games of futsal each, and all teams that are in the league tend to travel on the same day, and then all meet on the same day and compete on the same day. So that's a one-off event per month. So we have six league tournaments per season, and we have two cup events as well that bookend the season from September all the way through to April.
And some big league clubs have blind or partially sighted sides, but not all of them. How important is it to have the support of the big clubs?
Yeah, it really does give a lot of kudos to the league, I think, with having that professional aspect to the league. And it just adds kudos in that, you know, the name of a professional club linked to the league, it generally creates more interest, if you like. And we've always traditionally tried to get more professional clubs involved. And we've had other clubs involved in the past, but unfortunately, they're not involved at the moment. And you tend to find that because the numbers of visually impaired people in the UK are substantially lower than the mainstream community, that also impacts on the amount of visually impaired people who want to play football and then who want to engage in our league or in the blind league itself. So you can't expect a high ratio of visually impaired people to play football. So we are looking at lower numbers. Professional clubs tend to focus more on hand disability or learning disabilities because there's the numbers of those types of disabilities playing the game are a lot higher. So I suppose that's a bit of a quick win for them, if you like, if it's looking at funder streams or you're looking at making sure that football is successful within their remit, within their, you know, evident in the community of a number of different disability teams. And the Pan Disability League is huge in comparison to our league. But the one thing we are always trying to do is to grow our league. We're working in partnership at the moment with an organisation called Victor UK, which is a national children's charity for visually impaired youngsters who engage in a number of different activities through their provision. And we are hosting junior taster sessions at some of our league events with the emphasis on trying to increase interest, trying to increase awareness. And then, generally with the hope of this is who we are as a league. So once you become 16, you can come and play in our league if you wish. But we also try to signpost to regional or local provision as well, whatever that may look like, whether it's visually impaired specific, whether it's other disabilities, whatever suits their needs or whatever those individuals are capable of participating in, really, that's what we're trying to do. So we do try to work with key partners locally as well when we're looking at those junior development taster sessions, because we don't just want juniors to turn up and the families have a great experience and then say, well, we'll see you when you're 16. But it's important that we try to get them engaged as quickly as possible. And we are trying to grow our capacity to be able to facilitate more junior sessions around the country, and then have more of an outlet for that as well. So one day we'd really like to have someone professionally working for us as a league, a development officer as such, who could work on our programs, work on what it is we're trying to do. So the emphasis isn't so much on the volunteers all the time, because you can imagine volunteers like myself, huge capacity with full-time employment, and then trying to do this as a sideline, you're not always capable of reaching the goals that you set out to reach because the capacity is just too far stretched. So yeah, that the key is to grow the game and keep growing the game.
And part of that growth, I know that you had great supports from the English FA as well. This seems to be a really good pathway from grassroots level all the way up to representing your country.
Yeah, there most definitely is. And obviously the FA have a huge focus on the elite pathway. Traditionally, our game's all about participation level, grassroots level, getting people started, getting people interested, and continuing that progression, whether people just want to continue to play or whether they want to look at the pathway and aspire to be an England player one day. I know recently you had John McDougall, the England captain, on your radio show, which was a great interview. And John spoke well about how football has changed his life, and he's been playing for over 20 years at elite level, and he's had a fantastic career. And if people have got aspirations to follow in John's footsteps, then fantastic. There's a pathway there for them. Unfortunately, not everyone's has that ability or is capable of doing that, whether they have their aspirations or not. But we're always there in the background if people just want to play or if that's the next best thing. And we always signpost to as much provision as possible to ensure that people are just playing football, whether that's party side of football, blind football, or any other impairment specific opportunity, or mainstream if they're capable of doing that. So the pathway is great. We do receive a lot of support, not just financially from the FA, but also with the development programs that we link in with as well to help us run as a committee and as a league better with their processes. So that support is instrumental to the growth that we're trying to achieve and the sustainability that we're trying to achieve over the years as well.
On the international stage, the 2024 Futsal European Championships recently took place in Turkey. The England VI side coming third in the competition, runners-up, of course, in last year's World Championships. How exciting is it to be involved in futsal right now?
I would always encourage anyone to get involved in futsal, whether it's mainstream, whether it's disability, whether it's visually impaired. The fact that you can go on and play for your country is a huge opportunity. The boys did really well out in Turkey. I think they just fell a little bit short of having a full squad. One of the guys who scored a hat-trick in the World Cup final last year, Adam Leon, got injured in the first half of the first game, which was massively unfortunate for him and the squad. So it meant they were a man down straight away. And I know one of the players who didn't go, who possibly should have gone, and I believe it was because of injury. So they would have had a really strong 8-man squad of outfield players, and they always play with fully sighted goalkeepers, and they are the best goalkeepers in the country as well that we take with us. So the growth of the game is is huge. I just wish that the FA would have more emphasis on growing the smaller game, because if you look at other countries around the world and how they're doing, in mainstream World Cups and European Championships and everything else, it's because technically it's probably down to the fact that they've been playing futsal at a very younger age, and they grow into futsal, and then when they become old enough, they have the choice of futsal or 11-a-side professional. And that technically makes them better players. And if our emphasis and our focus was more on small-sided, ability levels of playing futsal and small-sided football, I think we'd have a better chance mainstream and in disability, with regard trying to, achieve within the game.
Is it an easy sport to get involved with? How can people take up futsal?
There's the National Futsal League, mainstream league around the country. So there are a lot of futsal mainstream clubs. Some do have some disability elements to them as well for people to engage. There's quite a number of our England lads who are involved in mainstream futsal clubs, and that's a great level for them to be playing at, because it just makes them technically better players and more prepared for their World Cups and their championships. So there's lots of clubs around the country. If people wanted to get in touch with us as a league, we can help signpost into visually impaired clubs, whether that be blind or partially sighted. And as I say, there's plenty of opportunities around the country to do that.
Well, how can fans follow the action of the Partially Sighted Football League?
Well, unfortunately, a little bit different to the championships that's just taken place in Turkey. We don't stream anything live. We do have our website. We also have a YouTube channel, and we have our social media, Twitter or X, I think it's called now, and Facebook and Instagram. So we have a lot of traffic on there with regard information about our events and how to get involved. But I would encourage anyone, if they wanted to find out more about the game. Our game's predominantly for adults aged 16 plus, but people who wanted to contact me directly, they can do on chairperson at partiallysightedfootballleague.com. That's my email address, and my contact number is 07577 709156.
George Ferguson, chairperson of the Partially Sighted Football League. Thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.